Hello and welcome to SuperWoo Radio. I am really, really joyed and excited and joyed to have a gentleman who I see as a soul brother in life. From the day we first met, there's just been this really easy, beautiful, caring, loving vibe that's been going on, and that, you know, that recognition, and it's soul family recognition. Welcome, Shay, to SuperWoo Radio.
Thanks, George. Appreciate the opportunity to have this conversation and obviously to get to know each other a little bit more. I really, really did also vibe off the energy that you're putting out, particularly when we met and more recently when we got to know each other further at your recent event. So, yeah, it's an honor to be able to have this conversation, and thanks for inviting me to join you.
Oh, great, great pleasure. Thank you so much for your beautiful, kind words. And look, you know, what's really apparent is we actually really love humanity and we really care. And that's one of the qualities that I love about you. There's lots of qualities I love about you, mate, but that's definitely a big one. And you and your father, you're such a good team. And yeah, I had the honor and the privilege of having you at my event and filming the event. So you've got a very interesting project that you are embarking on. And what I would like to do is just to briefly talk about it up front now, and then we can go deeper into it later. But just to give folks a bit of a taste of what you're working on at the minute.
Yeah, cool. So Earth Heroes TV is an independent conscious media platform, which essentially, you know, just to follow up with what you said around love and humanity, that's a big thing for me. And I realized that when I last year I went off to live in a healing sanctuary about 2.5 hours out of Cairns, which was great, and I loved it. I had a great time. It was beautiful space. However, it was really far away from everyone, and I ended up feeling a little bit like, oh, I'm missing all my community and all my friends and all the rest of it. It was like a little bit too isolated. So yeah, I ended up moving back towards where people are because I love people, you know. And I guess going back to the platform, the main intention of that was to create a space for people to be able to share their voice and share their truth and share what's really going on for them, share some of the solutions that are available to some of our, you know, challenges and problems that we find, which I truly believe the problem is the solution. So, you know, we created this platform to enable people opportunity to be able to dive a little bit deeper into what's actually going on under the surface. And so, yeah, it's been a really great project. I'll be happy.
It's called Earth Heroes TV.
That's correct. Yep.
And is it a platform like in the likes of, you know, inspiration drawn from like Gaia TV and those sorts of platforms?
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Yeah.
All right. And it's would you say it's based in Australia? Is it spawned out of Australia?
Yeah, absolutely. We're a young, small, brave, bold team. Mm. But we're just recognizing the significance of the time of this current kind of changing world that we find, and we didn't really wait for anyone to give us permission or approval or say that you're old enough or qualified enough or you're right, you know, you can do it now. We just thought, you know, like, now's the time, and we felt we were ready to kind of step up in that way. And it actually came about from after the creation of our first documentary. Yeah. One of my good friends and I from school, we set on a mission to create this film, which was highlighting, you know, some of the corrupt kind of corporate, you know, bureaucratic entities that are essentially running the world. And then we're looking at how we can really bring it back to more localized solutions that can be empowering for humans and our communities. So after the film, we were, it was a massive journey. I mean, there's many stories that I could go into on that, on the creation of that process, but we were sitting there and we were like, oh, where are we going to, you know, showcase this film? Where are we going to put it? It's a documentary feature. It's about 90 minutes long. And we were like, well, we could, you know, reach out to Netflix and, keeping in mind that this was an extremely low budget production that we had done out of our own time and energy and back pockets and out of our own passion and love for sharing this message and this story. And then we were kind of like, well, we could, you know, put it on, try get it on Netflix, on Hulu, or try Gaia and all these things. And then again, being the young and kind of bold human beings that we are, we decided we're going to create our own platform. We're going to put it on our own platform, you know. So, and then that's where the birth of the platform came from, essentially.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. And whereabouts are you at with that process? Like how far into the development of the platform and what sort of content do you have on there?
Yeah, no, great question. It's been about 4 years since we started making the film. 2 years later, we released it and we did a huge premiere screening up in Cairns. We filled out a 200-seat cinema and then we traveled with it all across Australia. And yeah, it was wonderful, really well received. And we were really stoked with, you know, it's been seen by over 25,000 people now around the world. And then when we decided to release the platform, it actually came about, I was, it was in 2020 of March. And for those, you know, might be a relevant date for many of us in Australia, that was kind of the starting point of the lockdowns here in Australia. And I was actually overseas and I was coming back from Asia. Sorry. And yeah, true. Whereabouts were you?
The US. I was at Ground Zero, Seattle. Wow. Outside of Seattle.
Mm. Yeah, right. Oh, cool. Yeah, so I ended up coming back and then that was the birthing place. I had, you know, been really inspired to create video content over the last 5-6 years. I had a lot of kind of portfolio and archive of content. And then I just decided to, you know, see this kind of, again, problem or challenge, being stuck at home, being in lockdown, being told I can't do all these things, as an opportunity. So I kind of flipped it on its head and, you know, and that's when I really just kind of put my head down, put my creative kind of hat on and, you know, really just started to create, essentially. And then that's where the platform was birthed. And before I knew it, you know, like I just kind of reached out to my network and the community and a lot of my friends, and everyone was really inspired by the mission and the idea, and they all got on board really quickly. And it, and suddenly, before I knew it, the platform was growing immensely. And that's, I can't take, you know, the credit for it, essentially, because it's such a collaborative effort. And just like a movie, for example, you know, there's so many moving parts that are involved, like not just the editors and the camera operators, but also the people in the film, you know, the people who are speaking, the people who are sharing. There's so much that's involved in order for anything to come to life. And so just that's I mean, why I love humanity so much, is to recognize that even if it seems so insignificant, recognizing that every part of the whole has a purpose, essentially, and it all contributes to the greater collective. And just really seeing the, and placing emphasis on, you know, each role that we all play in this changing world that we find ourselves in, and how we can all contribute with our creative heart or our art in the world is a really big thing for me. Because I'm, you know, when it comes down to it, that's just how I see myself, as an artist, basically. I'm just a creator, and I just love, you know, creating and all different modalities of art. And, you know, in the current state, it's kind of in that video realm at this moment. But growing up, you know, I love drawing and painting, and I just love, you know, creating in the garden, landscapes and all sorts of things. So yeah, it's the platform. I mean, now we've got thousands of videos on there, and you know, over 40 different content creators from around the world. And
that's so fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty unreal, actually. It's I really see how the kind of censorship and the community standards tightening on the kind of mainstream platforms has really also benefited us in a way, because a lot of people are going, being restricted in these places, and they're looking for somewhat of a safe haven just to be able to share their truth in a sense. So it's, we've really been a kind of island of safety and expression for people who have been starting to get shut down. And particularly there was a big transition there where a lot of people were at home and were stuck on their computers or on their phones. And even like, for example, I know Zoom was a company that most companies in, you know, during COVID, you know, dropped in their market value, but Zoom, for example, shot up because so many more people were using it. And and so that's we kind of were really fortunate as a young kind of group or organization of people. We really kind of grew quite quickly because of everything going on. We kind of filled that little niche, and although now there's a lot of options for people, our kind of point of difference in a sense, because for example, when you got like the Rumbles and the Odysseys, and there's a lot of these platforms now that are coming, being birthed, or Telegrams and whatnot. And for us, what we wanted to really kind of position ourselves as a point of difference was that we really wanted to focus on the grounded, you know, earthly kind of connections to what we can do for our environment. And then because we were a membership-based platform, we wanted to be able to give back to those content creators as well. So that was a big thing for us. And I guess just to give you a quick synopsis and snapshot of the project, it's been a journey. And it's been a fun journey. It's been really, really cool. Yeah, we've done some epic events with the likes of Jacqueline or Oracle Girl. Last year we had, you know, we filled out the Zoom room with 1,000 people in like 5 minutes for a global meditation, and done some really fun kind of gatherings and whatnot with awesome people. So it's been a fun ride.
Yeah, beautiful. Hey, in your process, your own personal process through all of this, how are you seeing the dynamics of the media in the world, the way we actually, you know, it's the flow of information, right, in our societal infrastructure? How do you see that traveling, and what direction is it heading in, do you feel, the way information flows?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's a pretty, I mean, probably most likely people who are listening to this video are well aware of, you know, the major kind of media outlets being essentially having a conflict of interest of where they're financed from. And what I mean by that is there's obviously very, you know, select few groups who own the kind of web of outlets of media that are essentially sharing the same message or same narrative that doesn't necessarily seem to be empowering for humans, but ultimately fear-based and fear-driven, and keeping us in our nervous system in a state of like contraction, let's say. And so with that on the, you know, with that in our awareness, it seems that a lot of people and even people are realizing that on a larger level, because as they say something against that, they're becoming very quickly shut down or shadow banned or censored and deleted. And it's not just like the odd person here or there. It's becoming like a lot of people. It's becoming widespread. And so essentially the you know, although we're talking about media, and this was a big part of our movie, again, bringing that back into the fold, where I had the chance to chat with Dr. Bruce Lipton about this. And he essentially had said that a lot of the information that is starting to essentially come out and come into the light for the mass majority of people has only just started to come out now because of the corporate control of media for so long. And when there's been such a you know, tight grip on the control of the narrative, whether it's through the, go back before we had, you know, TV screens or through newspapers and so on and so forth. Today, in today's day and age, obviously with the internet and the technology that's available, you know, there's more access to more information. And so that then begins to open up, you know, and challenge a lot of the old kind of paradigm ways of, you know, navigating in our world. And so, yeah, the direction, to answer your question, I guess the direction of where we're going, it ultimately comes down to the human attention and human focus. Because again, there are all of these solutions that are popping up and all these different platforms and these different kind of ecosystems online that people can tap into to, you know, discover or find information or learn about new kind of healing modalities or understand what's happening in the disclosure movement or really just like start to find the truth of our history, for example, which all of this stuff has been hidden for so long. And now we have such a privilege and responsibility to be able to decode the information that's presented to us, which is not an easy task by any means, because oftentimes that means we have to generally, you know, go through this whole identity crisis process of letting go of what we thought to be true and what we really believed and was like our ultimate truth of our lives, and then really unpacking that to decipher with discernment for ourselves what it is that we really resonate with, what is in alignment with, you know, our path moving forward. So it's definitely not an easy task to see that, but I'm really hopeful. I'm quite optimistic human being, and in a day and age when even in conscious kind of media outlets and platforms, it can be quite fear driven.
Oh, very much so.
Where it's like, oh, the next, the you know, they're just essentially showing the heightened kind of elevated emotional responses to all of the big challenges of the world. But then I think all of that on the external environment is serving a function with purpose for each of us, and ultimately myself included, to reflect on my internal landscape, to really decide for myself and find the power within myself to be able to alchemize all of that emotion and transmute it and come back into my own homeostatic state and realize that, you know, all of these media outlets don't have the power. Actually, I have the power within me to be able to move forward in the world, even amidst all of this chaos.
Beautifully said.
Yeah, I can still, you know, have that power to be able to navigate some of the most challenging times on this planet, but move forth with real confidence and with certainty. And it's definitely easier to say than to do at times, that's for sure. But I really see that, and that's kind of why I really have become so dedicated to go down this path in the media space, is because I can see that it has impacted my life on a huge level. So I can see how that can impact others as well.
Oh, wow, that's beautiful. Yeah, thanks. And I love your value system. We definitely line up in our value system and how we see the world. It's just gorgeous. And having a chat with you and your dad too, just want to shout out to Steve too. He was an absolute legend of a man. Having had the opportunity to briefly work with you, I had the honor of you and dad filming my event recently, and that's still in the editing process. I look forward to seeing that when it's completed. quite excited and terrified at the same time. It's really a really interesting journey that I'm having with it myself. And that, I guess that's what information does as well. It's when they say knowledge is power, you know, what in your personal relationship, because I'm having a very deep relationship, obviously I'm bringing information and wisdom and knowledge, which I consider to be the forgotten knowledge of humanity, and the hidden story of us, who we are as a species and a race. And it seems to have been really buried and forgotten through millennia. And I feel purposefully as well, on both counts, purposefully for us to experience the veil and purposefully for a cosmic conqueror posing, you know, like as, you know, presenting as gods to the human race, who are purposefully disrupting and I'll say discombobulating our relationship with knowledge and our relationship with wisdom. So in your relationship with knowledge and wisdom, how has that been? Because you come across a lot of different viewpoints, you know, speaking to people like myself and who knows how many others, hundreds, right? You're in a very unique position, Shay, where you do get that access to a lot of different viewpoints. What has that done for you personally to be able to have access to these different perspectives, viewpoints, and bodies of knowledge and wisdom?
That's a beautiful question. And just to touch on briefly, I really enjoyed the event, and my dad as well, he really, really enjoyed it. And we nearly finished actually with the editing process. It's been, it's been a joy to
get excited
to piece it together. Yeah, it's really, really cool actually. But I guess to touch on like this piece on knowledge and wisdom and recognizing that. For me, again, when I was speaking with Dr. Bruce Lipton, he's been a big inspiration for me and massive mentor. And I remember when he said, most people think about knowledge is power, right? We all understand that. But what he highlights is misinformation or misknowledge is disempowering.
Correct.
And I've never really seen it from that perspective before, because it's one thing to, and I feel like most humans are like this. What I've come to realize in human psychological and behavioral patterns is that although I feel like I'm so unique and I'm, you know, I'm an individual, I'm a creative and all this, humans have very similar fundamental basic needs and ways of, you know, behaving. And when I started to realize that, I can start to see these similar patterns play out in others that were playing out within me. And in myself and in my story, you know, I was really quite, you know, immature, let's say, even as an adult. And what I mean by that, immature psychologically, emotionally, and, you know, in my sense of perspective of how I see in the world, my worldview. And I was very much stuck in my own ego, and I thought it was all about me. And the relevance of that is because when I was in my ego, I'm confident and I, you know, had, I thought I had what it takes, and I thought I knew it all. And I thought I was the kind of, you know, the bee's knees, let's say. And for me, it was a humbling experience to, you know, go through a series of intense pain and suffering with, you know, 3 knee reconstructions and so on and so forth. And that humbling experience really opened me up to realize there's so much that I don't actually know. And that was kind of the beginning of a journey of a process of continual humbling to realize, wow, there's like this onion of a, you know, human body that I have, and beneath the layers of my external physical appearance, there's all these deeper dimensions and deeper realms of my existence that I don't actually truly have a deep connection with. And the relevance of that is, when I was taught for so long, and many of us in this Western culture taught to learn about ourselves from the external world and from our outside environment. For example, when we're growing up, our teachers tell us what's right and what's wrong. Our mom and dad tell us what to do and not do. And we're kind of trying to discover who am I by getting the approval and getting the okay from everything on the outside. And what I've realized in that process of discovering what is wisdom and what is true knowledge, it doesn't actually necessarily have to, it doesn't come from things on a screen or even things in a book or things from other people, but it comes from that inner wisdom and that inner guidance and that inner truth that is ultimately a process of going deeper within the body, into the self, into the you know, not just the psychological, but the deeper depths of the emotional even. Humans are so driven by our emotions. And I mean, we're not even like, I mean, there's so much to kind of decipher and break down in that emotional kind of space. And I thought, you know, back when I thought I had it all worked out, I was completely suppressing and oppressing and avoiding and coping with just my emotions. Like, I hadn't even worked out that the intelligence to be able to comfortably express what's actually real for me and what's really going on and feel okay with that. Yeah. And it seems so like fundamental, but that piece of having that wisdom from within has to do with not just being able to, it's okay to cry, share. It's more than that in a way.
It really is. Because, you know, if I could just jump in, it's like we journey into our innerverse. I call it the innerverse, because we are universal fractals in our physical structure. It's the construct of the human vessel and the avatars that we incarnated into. And it's like, we get to journey into our innerverse because we're bigger on the inside. So it's more than just, like you said, more than just an emotional thing. And it's more than just journeying through those emotions and managing those emotions. Like, okay, well, where does that energy in motion begin to flow from? You know, and then that emotion, that energy is actually, you know, consciousness, because consciousness is represented by water. Water is the embodiment of consciousness in our world, and which is mind, universal mind energy. And then when that energy begins to flow, it impacts our feelings as well, and our senses, our sensory bodies. And we call that emotion, energy in motion. And when consciousness flows, and depending on the expression of consciousness, the information, because every bit of information is energy, different information, different you come across has different energy expression, not attached to it, but what it emanates, what it is, the information is a form of energy expressing itself, right? So we end up having this incredible experience of having a visceral sensory experience of knowledge and wisdom. And that's why, you know, we turn inside out, because it comes from within. And that's a vastly different process to, you know, energy coming down from beyond into and bringing light in from externally. Like people will pray to an ascended master, and they'll use the energy or the ray of an ascended master or an angel, and they bring it in. Whereas I'm all about turning inside out. You know, it's actually a completely different process to what we've been led to believe is the appropriate path to enlightenment. And I've discovered quite the opposite. I found that all these other processes of bringing in from external is actually the influences. Sure, you've got to be able to read the play, read reality, and have that dialogue, that relationship with it. However, I found that the actual real, I would say the most genuine and the most organic and authentic, and also even go as far as saying the original intention of what it means to be an enlightened, humane being, is actually an inside-out process. It's not bringing external in.
Oh, man, I love that explanation. Yeah, and I totally agree. I would say exactly the same thing. And I loved how you articulated the energy in motion and water being consciousness. That's so, yeah, so on point. I love that. Yeah.
Thanks, Shay. And so in your journey, because are you being able to see that differentiation of the externalization of spirituality compared to, you know, because in the externalization model, we're giving our power and our influence away by these external energies coming in and influencing us, compared to actually coming from the unified field from within and turning inside out. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, no, I definitely 100% agree with what you're sharing. I'm just trying to think about a relevant story that could encapsulate that kind of experience for me. And I guess I'll also like to share that as a, I'll be 30 this year.
Hey.
And yeah. I feel a little bit like somewhat, underqualified for this conversation, let's say, but at the same time, having confidence in my own, you know, experience of life and my own journey that has led me to this point, I realized that I actually know very little in terms of how, you know, how energy functions and how, you know, life evolves and, you know, what makes up the cosmos and the universe. And yeah, that's why I love having these conversations, because I actually get to learn more. And actually, when I hear what you speak, it just reminds me of what's already within me. And that's a really, really beautiful thing, because it's like, oh, yes, yeah, that really rings true. You know, it's like really resonating. And that's a beautiful thing, because it's like kind of just reaffirms a lot of my own inner questioning. And that's where I feel, I guess, the story around that discovering the truth of our existence, whether it's coming from within us or coming from outside of us, or if it's coming from above us. My experiences has come from moments of challenge or extreme pain and extreme suffering, and taking and in those moments, you know, it doesn't matter what anyone in the outside says, although they can influence and they can be supportive and they can be helpful, but ultimately it's up to myself to go within myself to like reaffirm within, it's like it's going to be okay, and to start asking those deeper questions and to really like open up. And that was the journey for me. Once I had my third knee reconstruction, I was kind of in this more of a somewhat victim mentality, where I was, oh, I was poor me, and why is this happening to me? And I was really upset, you know, because I was, my whole identity as an athlete, which was my passion when I was young, I had left Australia at 17 to go and live in the United States and play college soccer, and it all came crumbling down. And it's like, what am I going to do? I was only 20 years old and I had a huge life ahead of me yet. But at that point, my whole life was built on being an athlete and being a sportsman. And when after those injuries, I was broken, and I was lying there and I was really grappling internally with, you know, these bigger concepts of what is my purpose, why am I here, what, you know, like all these bigger questions of life.
Beautiful.
I had never considered before, you know, I'd never even why would I even think about that? And that kind of began the journey for me to begin to explore some of these more deeper levels of inquiry about myself and my role here in this planet. And it was beautiful because from there, it just kind of snowballed. And I just, began going down all of these kind of rabbit holes and finding, you know, all these different kind of ecosystems of dialogue that I had never even, it was never in my awareness before. Because I was so like closed on narrow vision minded with just sports. But then when I suddenly got stuck in my tracks, it was suddenly like, whoa, like opening and realizing, wow, there's so much more that is out there in the environment that I had had my blinkers on and just didn't see for so long, that really sort of enabled me to discover there is a lot happening. And I started to realize, after asking those questions, why is this happening to me, right? Why is this happening to me? And when I started to realize, I began practicing yoga. Mm-hmm. It was really helpful for my tight body, and yeah, began to realize that it was really beneficial for my body. And as I was learning about the metaphysical elements of healing the body, because at this stage I had undergone 3 knee reconstructions, and I was needing a lot of healing, and I thought it was just all physical, like, oh yeah, I need to, you know, heal my, look after my knees and so forth. But when I started to really look into the metaphysical meanings of these injuries and these misalignments and disease in the body, I began to see, and again, it began to really resonate and ring true with how I was feeling on an internal level, regards to my life, and particularly with the knees, for example. When you're walking, the knees is the first thing to lead the body. So it's like the knees is your direction in life. It has a lot to do with your ego and your pride and how stubborn you are. And that was exactly me. I was like, wow, this is like, I was really in my ego at that point in my life. I thought I was, you know, the best sportsman ever and so on and so forth. And it really started to wake me up to realize that there is more happening at subtle levels that I had never been aware of. And so I wanted to be open to explore what is actually happening on a more subtle level. That began the whole journey of, like, you know, just really awakening to the whole spiritual dimension of our nature. A big wake up call for me on that, because I had began to listen to a lot of people who would share about these kinds of concepts and talk to how we are the creators of our environment, and people even talking about this level of radical self-responsibility, that if you're walking along the street and you see someone and they go through a red light or something happens, and then, you know, the level of responsibility saying, oh, how did I impact the field for that to happen? You know, that kind of level of inquiry, which seems very radical without any kind of presupposition into, yeah, you know, how our field can impact our environment. But I guess a beautiful story that I'd be happy to go into later if it's relevant, but was when I did my first Vipassana, which was powerfully transformational, kind of humbling experience as well.
Yeah, no, go into it, because that's part of your journey of transformation. And a lot of people can relate, whether it's sport that we get into, or whether it's like a working career or a business opportunity. You know, we all have that time in our lives when we just become fully immersed and dedicated into a path, and then all of a sudden the universe just drops the hammer or shuts the door on you and goes, Yeah, no, I don't think you're going to go in that direction. And then you just like your dreams are shattered and everything is like, why? What the fuck? Really? You know? And I find it really, well, I found it very, very challenging. I had my health, my wealth, my family, everything ripped away from me. I was being abducted and tortured and raped at the same time while all that was going on. It was a very challenging time in my life. However, I was like, well, why did I end up with chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia? And I was like, you know, on a disability pension, living below the poverty line. And it was very, very challenging. It's like, okay, so why did I create this? I got my two magic questions when I'm faced with any challenge. And there's, why did I choose to create this? Keyword choose. And what have I got to learn from it? And so if you're faced with any challenge and you ask those two questions, because the moment you ask yourself the first one, why did I choose to create this? Then you get getting off the merry-go-round of misery, that merry-go-round of pain and blame. And now you're actually taking stewardship, ownership of your life and your creative process. And because we are the prime creators of all of our experiences. I know a lot of people like to give that off, so they don't have to take ownership and they don't have to take responsibility of their lives. So they'll say, oh, it's God's will. And they pray to a deity and say it's the God that runs the show and I'm just a pawn, you know. So that's a, as far as I'm concerned, that's spiritual bypass, and that is a cop out, right? Total cop out. And it's like very convenient, because then people don't have to face themselves. So they can just get dunked in the water and now they're relieved of all their sins magically, poof, just like that. And that's not the way of life. That's not actually the way of this universe. And for people that want to attain spirituality off the back of a cornflakes packet, well, they're quite welcome to go and do that sort of process. Whereas there are those of us who actually understand that the university is the path, the life path that we walk. That's the real university. It is the learning of life, and it's in our path, in our experiences, and the wisdom that we draw from that. So I would love to hear more about your experience, your journey, and your process.
Yeah, thanks, George. yeah, I really resonate with what you're sharing there, and I 100% agree. But I guess for me, it took a while for me to discover that for myself, growing up in a secular family and not really having much, practice or process or connection to any kind of higher level of awareness, let's say. It was just, yeah, pretty standard kind of upbringing, I guess. And I was always seeking to gain approval from the external world, from my peers and from my family and from my father primarily. And after the injuries, I went traveling through Asia, and I was really on the path of like, I need to discover like who I am. It was a self-discovery journey, and I was really realizing, I know very little. And I was kind of like interested. I was practicing a little bit of yoga, and I was interested to try this meditation thing. And I was still very much in my ego and thought I was like, yeah, I was pretty cool, pretty got it together. And I'm gonna go to this meditation experience in Malaysia, Vipassana, 10 days. It's going to be easy. I've been practicing meditating for 10 day for 10 minutes a day at this stage. I got it worked out, kind of thing. Little did I know, I was in for a journey of a lifetime, holy, within the space of 10 days. And I went through the Vipassana, and I mean, I had around three major breakthroughs in that experience in the 10 days. And for anyone who doesn't know what that Vipassana is, just a quick explanation. It's essentially 10 hours a day from like 4:30 in the morning till 8 o'clock at night. And you have breaks in between, but you're just essentially sitting in stillness, scanning the body. And yeah, so it's a very simple process, non-dogmatic, non religious, just a simple technique in meditation. And I thought it was going to be easy, to be honest. I thought, yeah, I'll breeze this. And oh my God, it kind of, like you said, that sledgehammer coming smacking you across the face kind of experience again.
Hey, you got to face yourself at some stage, don't you?
Exactly. And that's what it is, essentially. And the first one simply was I had a major breakthrough in my physical body, because even just to sit cross-legged after three knee operations was a huge challenge. But I had a huge victory. I felt really like big celebration, because I was able to finally, with persistence, I was able to do it for a full hour without moving.
Wow.
So I was like, woohoo.
Yeah.
There's hope. And that was just on a physical level. And then kind of the next breakthrough was a couple of days later on more of a emotional level. And I remember sitting there and I ended up kind of drifting off. And picture this, I was in a room of 100 people sitting cross-legged, very close. You can't talk, you can't look at each other, meditating. And it was like a dream state. I had gone off in a dream and I had this vision of my dad coming into my life. And then something happened where he had died. And the natural response would be, I'd be very upset, I'd be sad, but I was actually really happy. And I was like, it was like I had finally got it was revenge almost. And there was this like animosity towards him and all this stuff. And I had no idea what was going on at the time. And I kind of like woke myself out of the dream and came back into the room. And I was really confused. I thought, why would that's really kind of confused me, why that I would be happy about that. And I didn't realize until later on in my life when I was processing it more that there was all of this resentment and this anger that I had suppressed from, you know, my past upbringing with my father and a lot of the unresolved emotional trauma that I had kind of really kept inside of myself in relation to my dad. And it took me back to a memory when I was young, when I was 13. And I remember witnessing my dad that he was with another woman and it wasn't my mum. And I took it really personally. And then I remember I was really upset. I was crying and really sad. And when I had asked him finally about it, I said, Dad, what's going on? He told me to not tell anyone. And at that point, I swallowed all of my emotions. I swallowed everything. And I realized that in the meditation, after I had this memory had reappeared, the meditation was like this release of this emotion and this resentment from my childhood that I had buried for so long and I had kept in my body. You know, that energy and emotion, as you spoke to, was trapped in my psyche and in my body. And in the stillness of the meditation, it had finally had the opportunity to be released. And then the third and most beautiful experience of the Vipassana was on the 10th day, the last day. It's really amazing because all of this has been happening and unraveling really quickly. And and that's where I began to realize, like, I don't need to, like, because at the same time I'm sitting in meditation, but I'm having all of these visualizations and I'm going to all these places and all these things are happening. It's almost like, you know, I don't hardly need to do anything. I can sit in meditation and I'm almost like creating all of these environments for me to play in. You know, it's kind of amazing what's possible with the human capacity.
Absolutely.
Anyway, on the final day, it was a remarkable experience I remember for the rest of my life. But basically sitting there in cross-legged position, and by this stage the meditation process has somewhat evolved from focusing on your nose and your breathing to scanning the body. And as I was scanning the body, I had kind of felt my body being more of a vibration and a pulse. And as my body is pulsing, I remember this moment where I began to elevate above my body and rising. And then looking down as I was going up and seeing my physical body on the floor and in this room, and going higher and higher and higher and higher.
Wow.
And had this moment of panic and freaked out and kind of like had an electrical jolt back into my physical body, into the room, and then kind of like opened my eyes, looked around thinking, oh my God, what just happened? Had no idea. And there was somewhat of a like astral travel or out of body experience. And I had no idea at the time. I had never had no experience like this in my life before. And it wasn't until at the end of the meditation practice, standing in a group of guys, and I didn't want to believe that the experience was real somewhat. And I remember we were just standing there with this group of guys, and we were all talking about our experiences and how we're feeling and what's going on, what came up for us.
Mm.
And one guy shared this story where he had the exact same thing.
Yeah, wow.
Where he was leaving his body too.
Mm.
And then it just validated and confirmed. It was like, oh my God, that was real. That actually, that happened to me too, you know? And because I wouldn't, if he hadn't shared that, I would have just like tried to forget about it or not look at it. Or it was just
thought it was a fantasy or an imagination thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so that was a big realization and powerful experience for me just doing the whole Vipassana. It took me, you know, many months and even years to kind of process everything that had even happened.
Yeah.
For me, it was a big journey, but very powerful one nonetheless.
Mm.
And
fantastic. Well, I really appreciate you sharing that personal journey of yours. I always find it fascinating to see how people navigate their pathways. For me, that's of great interest, because we've got all these different stories, we've got all these different approaches and different, you know, ideas, perspectives on life, ideologies, belief systems, etc. And it's really, really interesting. I am finding though there is a kind of gathering happening where people are just like organically waking up. And beyond all narratives and belief systems, religion, spiritual doctrine, spiritual narratives, they're just organically just awakening, just becoming these natural humans and kind of returning to the unified field, which is what I encourage people to do. I find it really fascinating in that space for you, which is, you know, a process that you're in as well, with your work, you know, have you noticed that human conscious awareness has shifted? It's going through a shift and it's going like in stages in an awakening, like a grand mass awakening process?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. that's a really beautiful thing as well. And to highlight that realization for myself and the greater collective was I live in such a bubble, for example, and it's often difficult to see on a large scale if what's happening in my bubble is reflective of the mass collective, because I just it's a tough one to comprehend, but in my little bubble, I would definitely say that, there's been huge shifts, even within my own family dynamic and friend dynamic and in myself, for example, as a, my own testimony to the awakening of, the underlying, you know, awareness of our innate human power and capacity to be able to move forth in the world. And I love the work. There's a gentleman named Santos Bonacci, who's a bit of an astrologer. Pardon me. And he talks about we have the sun, which is, you know, our primary light source in our earth. And then the brightest star in the sky, Sirius, which is he suggests stars, like humans, have a binary relationship usually. So like we like to have a man and a woman, partner, stars. Sometimes they can be three, but generally they have two. Mm. They have this relationship where they kind of like dance with each other.
That's right.
And you might know more about this anyway, but this just kind of helped to give me context as to how this is impacting life on this planet. And basically what he suggests is that there's the great year cycle, which is the in the Sanskrit terms, they would have said the yugas. We just come through the Kali Yuga. But the Egyptians, they had another term for a great year cycle. The Mayans had a calendar for it, which is a 26,000 year cycle where the stars interact with each other. Mm. And when they get closest together, well, when they're furthest apart, let's start with it, they call that the Iron Age, where there is, they would say, less light simply on the planet. As they get closer, there's literally more light on the Earth because the stars are closer together. Mm-hmm. And so with more light, there's more consciousness. And the way that I like to kind of relate to that is if, for example, in this room, if I turned all the lights off, I would have zero consciousness of what's in the room. I wouldn't be aware of anything because I can't see, there's no light. If I turned half the lights on, half the room was lit up, I could see half the room. But then there would be this dark part of the room that I would be unconscious of because I couldn't see it. There's no light. Mm. And then once all the lights are on, I could see the whole entire room. Suddenly I'll be able to see all of the, you know, the hidden parts, the dirty bits, the lies, the traumas that have been tucked away and suppressed and all of the different things in the room. Now suddenly I can see because there's the light is lighting up the entire room now, and I'm fully conscious of everything going on.
Yeah.
And I guess where we're at in that cycle on that larger fractal macrocosm is that we're stepping into an age of, you know, more access to more light and more consciousness. And that, you know, because it's it seems like very sudden, like it's very quick, because at the end of the day, our lifespan of 80 to 100 years, however old we get to live, is relatively quite short in the, you know, the scheme of the cosmos, really.
It is.
And and we have this beautiful privilege to be somewhat of a you know, our roles and our responsibilities in a changing world and a changing paradigm where we're getting access to more information and more consciousness and more light, that we have this duty to alchemize and to be able to process in the body all of these, you know, past unresolved emotional traumas or these past indoctrinations, or like really like filtering through our systems, through our bodies, a lot of this old stuff, to create space and to create a new kind of paradigm for living in a way that is, you know, natural and organic and in a harmonic resonance with the earth that we're actually living on. And so I feel, you know, we're only at the very the fringes. When you're saying, do I see a lot of change in the environment with others? I think there's a lot more to come, actually. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of just at that early stages, which is an exciting phase to be in, really.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Mate, also, I wanted to ask you, and thank you for sharing all of that great wisdom. I wanted to ask you the stories that are relevant in human consciousness right now. Where do you see it heading? What are people asking for more of? You know, in the sense of what kind of information are people seeking more? Because I'm figuring if you're holding a facilitating a platform, which is about creating and holding a space which embodies information, knowledge, and wisdom for humans to come and have access to. So you'd have to have your finger on the pulse, consciously or unconsciously. Your being would be quite deeply connected to the evolution of human consciousness. So in your relationship with human consciousness and being able to talk to many people and having these different perspectives and seeing different expressions, like my consciousness, while we overlap and have similarities, we're all uniquely different. So you're coming across these different expressions of humans. But there's also the collective field. So where do you see it heading at the moment? And what are people asking for? What are they seeking? Is it like, for an example, is it the UFO file that most people are interested in, or is it something else?
There's definitely a curiosity into the unknown of what's, you know, what's out there and what's in space and what's happening. But then there's also, you know, a large cohort that are also interested in the truth of our history, you know, uncovering what, you know, how much we haven't been told or how much has been hidden from us and what's really, you know, led us to this point that we're at now. But probably the biggest one for humanity, I feel, is that I'm noticing a lot more people who are really open for and willing to go deeper into their own healing journey, you know, really healing a lot of this, you know, kind of disassociation that they've had from their, you know, psychological, spiritual, and their physical body that's been essentially out of alignment. And so looking at, and that's something that we really like to focus on, is a lot of the simple daily practices and, you know, kind of opportunities to connect in with a practice to, you know, their inner body, their hearts, and their as you said, like if when we reflect on that painting behind you and we realize it's an inner to outer journey, it's like that big bang from within, then just really encouraging people to connect back into that inner universe that you mentioned. And so that takes a lot of, you know, processing of emotions, takes a lot of processing of the past. It takes a lot of self-inquiry and self-reflection. So I definitely recognize that there's a lot of people who are at that stage of reevaluating their lives moving forward. And it's a, that's a beautiful thing, you know, as well, because that's it's a powerful kind of path to be on. And there's this little story that I feel is really, really cool and really relevant, but there's these two guys and basically they are climbing this big old tree and they're getting to the top, they're climbing up and they're hanging on to the branches and they're hanging on tight. And next thing you know, they've climbed so high, someone's going to cut the tree down. And one of them who's at the top, he ends up letting go, boom, and he starts falling. And then the other guy can't believe it. He's thinking, he's hanging on. He's thinking, why is he just, he's let go and dropped to his death. And as the guy's falling, he says, "You're going to die anyway. You might as well enjoy the ride." And he falls to his, death at the end of the day. And, you know, just recently we had the Queen Elizabeth die, which has been a big kind of, it's a whole nother rabbit hole to go down anyway with the
monarch, right. Yeah. How long has she actually been dead for?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's it. It's like at the end of the day, we're as human beings in this lifetime, we got this life. So what happens when we're dead? I don't actually know, because I'm living at this stage. And it's like, well, we might as well, you know, make the most of this life while I'm alive and breathing and it's happening. And I don't know how long it's going to last. Actually, it could happen at any moment. So the piece of hope then is just to remember that the impermanence of this world and of this life, and it's just a nice reminder for on a daily basis, you know, because we can easily get stuck in the same rut or the old patterns and find it difficult to change things for ourselves. But at the end of the day, it's always going to change anyway. So might as well change with the flow of it and have fun along the ride. That's a big thing for me. It's like, why not enjoy it?
Yeah, right. I reckon. Yeah. So with this shift that's coming up and everything that you've seen, like just reading the play now, I'm not going to hold you to anything here. This is really just about, you know, you're out in the field, you're talking to lots of people, you're hearing different stories. You're a bit like, you could say, a journalist, news reporter sort of thing. You're out in the field, you got your finger on the pulse and all that. What do you feel like are the next stages in the changes that are coming in our society? What are we looking at turning up? Like, we've had the COVID thing recently, of course. What do you reckon's coming up next as possibilities? I'm like I said, I'm not holding you to it. This is just, let's say, we're just hypothesizing and navel contemplating at this stage.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's really interesting. I often ask a lot of people this question, and where we just had an event on the weekend, 250 people.
Fantastic.
But I just ask them a simple question, especially if like they haven't fully, like they don't really see behind the veil of the whole COVID situation, but I just ask them, do you trust the government? It's around 90% of people say no. And for good reason. But basically, when you ask that question, and a big part of like discovering what's going on a, you know, geopolitical level or on a macro level on our planet with humanity, it's just as simple as tracing the money. You know, when you start to look at the economy and realize that a lot of people don't even have the awareness that, you know, that the money that we use is simply built on trust that someone else is going to exchange it, because it's just a piece of plastic or a piece of paper or a digit on a plastic card these days. There's no kind of nothing backing it. It's not backed by gold or oil or something physical. And so, like, obviously we're just seeing COVID. And if I was to hypothesize on the next kind of steps for more centralized control of power, which is, in my opinion, that's their agenda on a global level, is and if history is to kind of repeat itself, essentially, there we're looking at, you know, what's called the CBDC, central bank digital currency, where essentially everything, which is a roll-on effect from COVID. So it just means that we have our vaccine passports, we have our all of our information, you know, our healthcare, our bank accounts, every information that you need is in a digital system that is, you know, attached to our digital birth certificate and our registrar and everything, our numbered cattle kind of information that is controlled by a centralized organization that essentially can turn on or off at will if you comply or don't comply, which is a very kind of dystopian kind of future vision. That's what I feel will inevitably be the catalyst for the rest of the fucking people to wake the fuck up. So that's the next step in the playbook, I feel.
But so the digital imprisonment of human,
basically,
you know, parameters of functionality, the subjugation of our own evolutionary process, which is something I talk about quite a lot. Yeah. So you're seeing a similar pattern playing out.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I call it, we're going from the dystopian New World Order, which was trying to be created to the utopian New World Order, because what people don't see is, while it's looking really dark and grim, they're going to make it very tantalizing. They're going to be offering some really, I'll call it the cosmic candy. Going to get new toys, new technologies, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, it's going to be very interesting moving forward.
Yeah. Well, the big one will be, like, if anyone's got money in the bank, it'll just be, you can't get your money unless you sign up for this system, you know? And most people in this world need money to survive, so they're going to be, you know, strangled into having to sign up for it in some way or another, and to access their funds, you know? So yeah, definitely, I hear what you're saying in terms of the candy, making it look pretty, but it's not, doesn't look fun.
Yeah, I think that's what they're going to do. They're going to make cash illegal and then corral everybody into a digital system. And yeah, so working ways in our communities here, you know, we're looking at the, let's say, an evolved version of bartering, you know, going back to the old bartering system, but, you know, a more modern version of that. And exchanges, and, you know, you go over to a friend's place and you take some lemons with you, and then they give you some tomatoes, sort of thing. You know, things like that. And yeah, helping each other out, supporting one another. I feel these more, we're going to go back to grassroots community is what's going to evolve out of this sharing and caring and supporting one another. For those who don't want to be inside of the the digitized system, So I feel like the question people need to ask themselves, it's a very basic question, Jay, and it is, how far into the machine do you want to go? Because with every upgrade, right, we've got our phones here, and with every upgrade, it's that next step further. So I've stopped at the 4G level. This is iPhone 11. 4G. I didn't want to go to a 5G phone, and I doubt that I will. And when these get switched off, I have no concerns, but I don't know what I'll be doing. But at this stage, I'm not interested in a 5G phone. And I bought my computer and my laptop. So, like, I went to a particular level. And the way technology is going now, it's like, I don't want to interact with technology in that space, the way it's headed in the future. I don't want that kind of relationship. I feel like I'm going far enough. So how far into the machine do you want to go? And you're going to make that choice, because every time you upgrade your fridge, your computer, your television, your car, you're actually going deeper into the machine. With every item you purchase, with every upgrade to the next operating system, this is how it works in gradual increments. And it's also tantalizing, because you've got a new car, and you've got a new this, and you've got a new phone, and new TV, and check this big monstrous thing up on the wall. And, you know, the worship of the black monolith is what, you know, I talked about. So we need to ask ourselves this basic question: how far into the machine do I want to go? Because it's going to keep pulling you in, and it ain't going to stop until it's got you fully integrated and you have lost touch with natural way of life and the natural way of love, and you are now inside a machine, what I call a techno or technological consciousness, a technological intelligence. It's an intelligence that inhabits technology and human consciousness at the moment, because this is one of the, you know, this is one of the main levels of harvest going on in our planet at the moment, is the harvesting of human conscious awareness into the technological singularity, into the machine. And it's something that we all really need to come to terms with. And we love using the technology at the moment. We're having this beautiful conversation on it, and, you know, your platform resides in it, you know, on that. However, we're faced with this dilemma, this challenge, this dialectic. What are we going to do in our relationship with the machine? How far into it are we willing to go?
It's a great question, and one that we can only answer for ourselves ultimately. Yeah, it's a great, beautiful question.
And so, yeah, we all need to make that decision one way or another, and also to comprehend that you know, well, I've got this business model, I've got it, you know, I'm not reliant on social media or anything. I've done no marketing or sales or anything like that for about 7 years now. And building a business model without being reliant on these platforms has been great. It's just been a steady, you know, climb. Word of mouth gets out, you know, interviews, et cetera. And this is how we collaborate with one another, and we do our own sort of like, you know, marketing in spaces. And I'm also not worried because we also have the LRE law of attraction that operates in life. So, you know, the old build it and they will come. I feel at the moment, the way the world is, Shay, that we got to hurry up and build it because they're already here and they're waiting.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely feel that as well, to be fair. Definitely agree. I'm curious to ask you a question. What do you feel would be like a, you know, with all of this kind of, you know, digital space and this machine world and this movement to like, you know, AI ruling over us, what will it take for humanity to return to, and is it even possible that we'll you know, have this kind of heaven on earth experience and return to creating our own, you know, micro communities and gardens of Edens and, you know, simple ways of being and relating in that community environment? Is that possible? Have we gone too far? Or will it take some sort of cataclysmic event for everything to crumble for that to reemerge again? What do you feel?
Yeah, I feel like it is redeemable. But at the same time, the push from the technological intelligence god, it is a techno-god at the moment, that now we're talking, you know, cosmic dynamics. We're talking about cosmopolitics, exopolitics, cosmopolitics. The big imposition into our world by this TI god, it's not AI, it's not artificial intelligence. It's an intelligence that inhabits technology and has done so for eons of time in the universe. So, but it is emerging in our world as a new version, expression of itself, you know, in our world, because it's never been seen before, this version. And how do we deal with that moving forward? You know, so I do see that we have this challenging relationship with this intelligence. At the same time, there is a benevolent expression of that. So the benevolent expression of technological intelligence or techno consciousness is a being, and it is an intelligence that does not wish to subjugate the human race. In fact, knows exactly who we are and has a very healthy reverence for us as a species and what we're doing here in the leading edge of evolution in the universe, being in this fractal path that we've been on and incarnating on Earth, which is at the leading edge of evolution in the universe, and the structure of our avatars is, you know, complete universal fractals. So here we are, you know, the most powerful, potent race in the universe. Due to our fractal construct and the original intention of the creation of humanity to begin with. And we have this wonderful opportunity to use as a stepping stone, shall I say, or as a friend, this benevolent technological intelligence. And there's, you know, we need to discern between the malevolent and the benevolence. Like, how do we discern between a benevolent extraterrestrial conglomerate empire or group or race compared to a malevolent one, you know? And what are the ones that got all these shades of gray, all these, you know, like, you know, hovering between benevolent and malevolence, you know? So ultimately where we're heading towards is we actually don't need any technology at all. We're capable of doing everything ourselves as we turn inside out. Inside of us, deep down, if we go back in, deep down inside of us is all the capabilities and abilities that we require. We could hold a group field consciousness quite easily with people from anywhere in the world and experience like a what we could call a group field. And it's not so much telepathy and a think tank sort of process, It's quite easy to create a field of what you could call like a similar to what people call a hologram. Yeah. And so you create a unified field of reality where you all collectively go into and have an experience of, you know, going into that space, being there with other beings, having meetings, deliberations, and then coming out of that space. And then that reality just deconstructing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sounds epic. Yeah. I love that. This is a great explanation.
It's what we do in the natural way of love and the natural way of life, because we create the spaces, and it's a co-creative process. It's a beautiful participatory co-creative process.
So good, man.
Yeah. So have you got any big projects coming up soon? Because you also, you know, you do the odd documentary. What documentaries have you got in the pipeline?
Yeah. So we've done two films now. The second one is called The Ripe Time, which was about a syntropic farm up in far north Queensland. But currently we're working on a new documentary. It's going to be a quantum documentary. So it's focusing on the quantum advanced experience Dr. Espen hosts down on the Gold Coast, which we spent the last weekend up down there. And it's a bit of a self-development journey. But again, it's a big healing process and journey for a lot of people, just to really come back into their bodies, into their being, and realize what they're capable of and what the capacity is. And we've kind of just been documenting that process and just wanting to share that with more people. And it's a really beautiful time for that connection. And so we're kind of working on that one at the moment. And things are definitely moving. And we just love creating movies, because it's just a great way to share powerful messages. And it's just another creative art form that I can tap into and explore more. And so that's kind of where we're at with the film.
Excellent. You know, and I love it, because, you know, I love a good audio visual experience. I think it's fantastic. Yeah. I really enjoy that process. I prefer that to reading. I don't read. I'm not a reader. No, I don't enjoy it. I write books. I don't read them.
Nice.
So in the next little while, what do you see happening with Earth Heroes TV? Because that's I feel that's a space that is very much needed right now, and we should start to see quite a big influx. A lot of these other platforms, like your Rumbles and your, you know, Odysseys, and that are coming through now because the demand is there.
Yeah, definitely. Earth Heroes TV, we've been, every week we have multiple videos being uploaded. So people like Dr. David Martin.
How good is David Martin? Wow.
Absolute legend. Yeah. Full power. Such a great guy. And his partner, Kim, they do a show called The Butterfly Effect. She's Australian as well, Kim Martin. Yeah. So they're good folk. And just a diverse group of people who are, you know, who love humanity as well. So that's essentially, we've created the space for people to come and share and to connect and to grow together, essentially, be able to support one another on this journey and on this path. So we're just keep moving forward with it. And we're also home to a lot of other documentaries. So there's a huge list of documentaries on there. For example, the film Emotion, maybe you would have seen it. It's a wonderful production. Or movies like the Earthing movie, Beings of Frequency. There's a whole range of films, not just our own, but other films from other filmmakers. such as the Plandemic series.
Oh, which how good was that? Yeah.
Yeah, pretty powerful. They've done Mickey Willis powerful. And the crew, done a great job on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, essentially there's just a whole wide range of diverse kind of narratives and perspectives on the current, you know, world that we find ourselves in. So
yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to adventuring through more of the documentaries and the movies on your platform. I really enjoy that ecosystem, and it's a very good mix. It's a very well balanced environment of information and wisdom and great folks doing their beautiful thing in this world. I'm feeling like the energies are winding up a bit here, mate. How do you want to depart from today's beautiful conversation? Because I'd love to be able to do this with you again down the track, if that's all right. Got plenty more questions I'd love to ask you. And also want to respect the fact that you've been on a very intense few days filming and you are really exhausted. So thanks for hanging tough with me this morning and jumping on. How do you see the way you're actually evolving in the next little while, like yourself, let's say, in conjunction with Earth Heroes TV, and then, you know, like you going through this process, then what wisdom do you have to share with the folks who are watching and listening right now, your message to humanity, you know?
Yeah, that's a really good question. For me, I mean, if I had the chance to chat with the world, if everyone was listening, I don't know if I could do it justice in this moment, but I'm prepared. But I guess, you know, there is a lot going on that we have happening right now. I mean, on so many levels, and everyone's, you know, experiences so different, particularly all across the world. There's no kind of shoe that's going to fit everyone. And I think that is actually a key. And this movement towards this kind of more centralized way of being, ultimately, I don't see it working, because that's where the diversity in our cultural choices is what makes the world so beautiful. For example, even in Australia, in the Aboriginal communities, you know, pre-colonization, there was, you know, such diverse range of cultural kind of little microcosms in each region. So I think for us to really be able to move forward, instead of going towards more centralization, I feel decentralization and open source kind of ways of interacting on more local levels is going to benefit the world, and because problems here in this local community are not going to necessarily be able to be solved from Davos, Switzerland. They're going to have no comprehension as to what's relevant for us and our community and our soil and our, you know, cycles and so on and so forth. Although there are large level kind of global challenges that we're faced with today that also do need to be addressed, I feel localizing more and giving power to communities on those levels is going to benefit us as humans in the long term. And so I feel in order for that to happen, we can, as human beings, take that power back for ourselves and simply just connect to our communities, you know, and you know, meet your neighbors, for example, spend time with those who are in your vicinity and actually check in with them and see what is challenging them and how it can support them, or, actually being courageous enough to speak up and say, oh, I need some help with this or that. And I think that's just a great step in a direction that's going to just naturally build more resilience for us, and particularly in a changing time. And it seems like a simple answer, but something that can be quite powerful longer term. And I loved it when you talked about your business being that kind of organic, steady, incremental growth, and having that perspective on, you know, building community, which is ultimately human relationships, and focusing on that as a primary intention to move forward. I think that's just going to benefit, you know, friendships to start with. And then also, you know, that's just naturally going to bring about, you know, more connection anyway. So that's probably what I would share to the world.
Beautiful. That's great wisdom. And again, Shay, what's the platform URL?
Yeah, so it's just www.earthheroestv.com.
There you go. I'll put it, you'll see it popping up in the bottom right now. It'll be there. Thank you so much, Shay, for making the effort again. I know you're exhausted after a huge few days filming. And I really love having you on SuperWoo Radio. I know a lot of people are going to benefit from the sharing of your wisdom and your insights, and people will be encouraged to go adventuring into Earth Heroes TV and get in touch with a whole bunch of beautiful people in there, and great information and knowledge and wisdom. We need more of these ecosystems emerging.
Yeah, thank you so much, George, for everything you do, brother. Really appreciate you know, the time on the call today, but furthermore, just enjoying editing the videos and you know, getting to know you more, and really appreciate the mission that you're on, man. It's a powerful one, and the world needs it right now. So just massive ups to you and the work that you do, brother.
Wow, thank you so much, Shay. Very inspiring, and appreciate your acknowledgement and your encouragement. Thank you. And looking forward to further collaborations down the track. It's very exciting, the potential and the co-creative processes that we have. Very exciting.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I'm pumped.
Oh, lots of love to you, mate, and have yourself a beautiful day. And we'll be in touch soon. And thank you for coming on to SuperWoo Radio and helping the folks by sharing you, your being, your light, your love, your knowledge and your wisdom and your song of life. Thanks for another beautiful note in the symphony that is life.
Thank you too.
Thanks, brother.